Buttons's face appeared, looking even more like her father's than the last time she'd seen him.
I'm glad you called. Bad news.
I know. We just heard an hour ago, but I didn't think you'd have heard yet.
Why not? I'm a lot closer.
What? Not to Castle Rock? Are you talking about something besides Hobart Consoline's death?
Consoline's dead? When?
Yesterday afternoon. They just released the news this morning, local time. You didn't know. Then what bad news did you have?
Peter Origamos, Consoline's foreign minister. He's dead too. Mother, she killed him. By accident, of course.
Mother? Killed a crown minister? Mother? Mother herself?
Yes. Apparently this fellow had invited himself to Cerealis. The servants say he was paying court to Mother. She had been up at the Snow Lodge and he announced himself while she was gone. She'd just come back to the main house when he arrived. Anyway, he wanted to fence with her. Apparently he'd fenced with her long ago, before she married Dad. He insisted on using those old weapons out of the case in the hall.
Into Brun's mind came the memory of her father, standing by that very case, leaning on the wall, and talking to Kevil Mahoney. She had been 11 or so.
The thing about Miranda Kev is that people simply can't recognize what she is. They see the porcelain figure of elegance, the beauty, the gracious behavior, and fail to recognize that she's deadly as any of these blades.
Her father tipped his head toward the case.
I'm just the front for her ambitions, really. As a swordsman is just the means for the steel to strike. She wields me skillfully. So skillfully no one notices.
Mother killed him herself?
It was an accident, apparently. The old blade broke, and Peter was wearing an antique mask as well, and the metal was brittle.
They didn't test it before? No, of course they wouldn't have. When did this happen, Buttons?
Local time on Cerealis, perhaps 4 days ago, or five. Lady Cecilia was there, by the way. She'd come visiting. Why, I have no idea. It's not anywhere close to hunting season. Mother's gone off with her to the Guerni Republic.
Lady Cecilia, who could see through a brick wall at the worst possible moments. At least she was a Barraclough, too.
Oh, it's going to look bad. Just Hobart alone would have looked bad, but this?
It was an accident. Old weapons, brittle metal?
It will still look bad.
But you don't think...
I don't think our mother managed to connive at the deaths of a speaker and one of his ministers at the same time. And if she had, she certainly wouldn't have gone fencing with one of them with faulty equipment.
That seemed to satisfy Buttons. His face relaxed slightly. It did not satisfy Brun.
What are we going to do? I can't very well come back now. We're in the midst of some ticklish negotiations. And even if I did, it'd be weeks before I got back to Castle Rock.
Stay there. I'll deal with whatever happens here. Did Mother ask for help?
No.
Then we'll assume she settled things on Cerealis.
But Brun, can you do it alone?
We'll find out, won't we? They're going to hold a council meeting and try and ram something through. I don't know what. I have to go.
Well, I guess there's nothing I can do from here. I'll contact the committee and see if they'll let you vote by proxy. But if they're convinced we did it, they won't.
Oh, that will help. Thanks, Buttons. I'd better go now.
Brun let herself out of the comm booth, reset the controls, and went back to the breakfast room. Kevil took just one quick look at her face.
More trouble?
That was Buttons. You remember Peter Orgiemos? Hobart made him a minister.
A blot. Your father disliked him very much.
Well, my mother just killed him.
Kevil blinked slowly, his mouth tightening.
By accident?
So I would hope.
Kevil's glance flicked sideways to the other woman.
Did Buttons give you any details?
Only that they were playing around with the old fencing gear and something went wrong.
Brun wanted to chatter. She must not chatter. In lieu of chatter, she picked up a muffin and buttered it, then spooned on a dribble of apple blossom honey.
Lady Cecilia was there.
Why?
Brun took a bite of muffin, slowing herself down. She felt that her brain was beginning to spin out of control.
I don't know. I don't think Buttons knows. He said he was surprised because it wasn't close to hunting season.
Perhaps she wanted to look at your bloodstock. But she's the one who's so crazy about horses, right?
Yes, I suppose that could be it.
Brun was aware of a warning look from Kevil,
and took another bite of muffin.
By the way, I'm coming to the city with you.
You don't have to.
Kate waved her to silence.
I'm coming because you may be in danger. If these Consulines really believe you engineered Hobart's death...
I have security staff.
Kate grinned, that wide, insouciant grin that made her seem so harmless.
Yes, but they're just security. I'm a ranger, remember?
I suppose you're going to wear your badge?
On this occasion, yes.
I think I'll come. I haven't been back since,
Since they had brought him to Appledale, out of his poverty, out of the clutches of that most suspicious male nurse. Brunn wiped her mouth and rang for staff, sending the first for her briefcase and the second for her car.
To the house?
No, but I'll check with the banks in person. That might loosen their memory. I can also find out when my new arm might be coming out of the bins. They said next week, but I might be lucky.
Fine, then. Let's get going.
On the drive to the city, they reviewed possibilities. Brunn updated her personal comp with the whereabouts of all the seated family members. She was sure there would be an emergency Grand Council meeting that day or the next. Brunn did not ever remember seeing the Benignity Ambassador before. Now, in the Grand Council chamber, she stared like everyone else at the man of middle height, dark-haired and green-eyed, who wore a perfectly conventional dark suit. She wasn't sure what she'd expected, but Ser Vadis Unser Mars, as his name appeared on her monitor, looked too ordinary to represent the fabulously wicked benignity of the Compassionate Hand. So far, news of Pater Origamos' death hadn't reached the news media. Reporters outside the chamber had asked only for a reaction to Hobart Consuline's assassination, and she had expressed shock and her condolences for his family, and they had gone looking for another victim. Brunn knew the meeting would be chaired by the head of a minor family, John Irene Pearsall, as neutral as anyone could be. She wondered how long he'd last. He didn't look very forceful.
On this sad day, we have only one order of business. Ambassador Unser Mars has an urgent message from his government, which we will hear.
War. Brunn could feel the tremor of apprehension across the chamber. The ambassador stepped up to the podium with ceremonious grace.
Chairholders, it is my responsibility to read you this urgent communication from our government and to assure you of the most sincere apologies and regrets which accompany it.
That sounded ominous, but Brunn couldn't see why anyone would apologize for declaring war.
I am having the text sent to your individual displays, but I will also read it.
He began quoting. Brunn glanced down at the monitor. She wanted to be sure to catch every word.
It is with sincere regret that the benignity of the Compassionate Hand must take responsibility for the unprovoked attack by Swordmaster Hastite Fieti on the head of state of the Familius Regnant. This attack was ordered by the former chairman of the Board of the Benignity without the knowledge or consent of the Board. The former chairman has been judged guilty of political assassination and punished.
Brunn realized she'd been holding her breath and let it out. She glanced around and met startled glances. She looked down again. There it was, in print. And then a sharply focused video clip of a much older man, almost bald, with a crawler below. Pietro Rosavotari, the chairman, and the charges against him. Sentenced to death, it said. Then the text flicked back up.
Although the benignity of the Compassionate Hand did not consent to or condone the former chairman's order to assassinate Hobart Consuline, it is felt that the Grand Council of the Familius Regnant should be made aware of the reasons for his decision, deplorable as that decision was.
Chairholders looked at one another. Brunn tried to think it through. Hobart had been a power-hungry blot, but she couldn't see why the benignity would want him dead.
It is important for you to know that no one in the Familius Regnant was involved. No sept, no family, no individual. Chairman Rosavotari acted alone. He left the following recorded message to be transmitted to you.
It's a fake!
Brunn checked her display. Kazdar Moraline, that was. Otala's older brother.
No, it is not a fake. I beg of your courtesy to hear this. The text will appear on your monitors.